Your passions are amazing and awe-inspiring, but as you're thinking about your career, remember it is critical to build that really strong foundation.
Chris Holmes has helped unlock the careers of tens of thousands of people in her role as an executive recruiter. In her new book, Ignite Your Career, she shares the best tools she's honed over 2+ decades in the recruiting industry. Chris's book was one I needed when I was just getting started in my career. And as we spoke, I realized the same tools continue to apply as people make important shifts throughout their careers. In our interview, Chris shares her hard-won insights on career advancement at any stage of the game. All right. Welcome to Author Hour. Today, I have Chris Holmes with me. She's written the book, Ignite Your Career, Strategies and Tactics to Unleash Your Potential. Chris, welcome to Author Hour.
Emily, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here.
I got to say, I'm really excited to talk about your book because this was the book I needed when I was a college grad just starting out. I had finished a degree in fiction writing, of all things, which, you know, is highly useful in this world. And I really just wanted someone to tell me what to do with that. And there was no one. And I'm really curious, what kind of experiences inspired you to write this book?
Great question. So, Emily, as you know from the book, I've been doing recruiting for a little over 25 years now and work with candidates everywhere from right out of college all the way up through chief marketing officers and senior VPs and counsel them daily on how to think about their career, how to apply for jobs, how to prepare for jobs. But concurrently, for the last 15 years, I've been working with some colleges, Washington University, which is here in St. Louis. I've worked with their business school for about 15 years, and then my 3 children have gone to liberal arts schools in both California and the Northeast, and I've offered up my services to speak to them, and these are wonderful schools. And I've done interview prep, I've done how to negotiate sessions with them, and what always really surprised me was, despite these schools having amazing career centers where there were so many resources, the students were still so hungry for this information. And I started thinking, okay, if these really elite schools have these great services and the kids still love these sessions and are so interactive and involved and appreciative, what about all the other students that go to really good schools that may not have the resources and the really strong career centers to help them through this? And as you saw through the book, reading my stories, I too made a lot of missteps. And I so wish I had this book to help me think it through and figure out my strengths to start on the right path at day one. So, long-winded way of saying, both my work experience at the O'Connell Group combined with my passion and going to the colleges and watching my kids' experience is what really motivated me to want to write it. Then the other thing I'll tell you is my 3rd child, Sam, went to college 2 years ago. And when he left, there was truly a gap in my life. I really all of a sudden didn't have the high school community as much as I had. And that motivated me to work with a personal coach. And what came out of that was some key learnings of myself, but also my coach, Doug, said to me, you know, Chris, when you talk about this book that you want to write someday, you light up. What's holding you back? And so it was kind of everything happened at once to finally motivate me to do this thing I've been talking about for 15 years.
Oh, that's fantastic. And how does it feel now that you've written the book?
It feels beyond amazing. I feel like a mother about to birth her 4th baby. I mean, it's exciting and truly kind of scary, but I also feel like the world has aligned. I don't think there has ever been a time in this world where this book is needed more. With the pandemic and kids at home versus at school and uncertainty about what's going to happen in the fall, as well as many internships being canceled, I think people are hungry for knowledge to help them figure out good career paths and how to get there.
Absolutely. That's the scariest thing when you're trying to figure out what your life will look like and the world is changing at the same time.
Yeah.
Why is it, you know, pandemic either included or aside, depending on how you want to answer this question, but why is it that so many college grads struggle to find their footing?
Great question. I think there are a couple of reasons. One is many schools teach you, you know, you go to school and you take classes that you're interested in, and you know, might have a career path, but many times it's just, here are my passions, here are my interests. But in reality, many career centers are experts in financial and consulting and maybe engineering and directing people towards med school and all those type things. But the smaller, more niche segments, they just don't have the expertise nor the resources to bring in the talent. So I think it's that combined with the fact that there are so many choices and so many different ways they could go that oftentimes it's debilitating and it's overwhelming and it's scary. And that's why I so believe, having lived through it myself, that if you can figure out what your innate strengths are, what I call your superpowers, what are those things that come really easy to you, and narrow the field by understanding the type jobs where those skills are going to set you up for success, it helps immensely out of the blocks. And I just don't think a lot of students know how to do that yet.
Yeah, that was one thing I so appreciated seeing in your book, was this focus on superpowers and skills over the specific title or degree that you've earned once you graduate college. It helps open up a new level of creativity, I think, when people focus on what they can do versus what they were qualified for.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I do think in the book I talk about FOMO, fear of missing out, which is a real phenomenon at college. And people see their roommates or their friends going to med school and becoming consultants or investment bankers or going to work at top companies. And they feel like, I'm not cutting it because I'm not doing something at that level. And the reality is, you really cannot compare yourself to anybody else, because your strengths and what make you special are yours uniquely. And so you've got to figure out where best to leverage them. And independent of where anybody goes in their career out of the blocks, they're going to be at the learning phase. Everything is new. Everything is different. And you want to go someplace where both you're set up for success, but you're going to be able to learn from the best.
In your book, you break that process or the overall career process down into three steps or three phases: learn, do, and leverage. Do you want to give us a brief overview of each of those?
Absolutely. And I think this is really critical to be mindful of as you're making decisions. So the learn phase is when you're new in your career. It is, as I was just saying, everything in reality is new. And at first, anytime you do something new, it's hard. And it takes you a lot longer than it would after you've done it 10 times. So at the learn phase, what you're doing is you're building what I call tools to put in your toolbox. And the smartest thing anybody can do is at the learn phase, go to either a top training company or the best company you can go to in your field, or go somewhere where you're learning from somebody who's been trained at one of those top companies, because you don't want to just develop any tools. You want to develop world-class tools. Then after you've been in your career for a period where you know what you're doing, you've built your capabilities and your skills, and now you're going to go applying them, that's when you shift into the doing phase. And in my world, which is marketing, an assistant or associate brand manager might be at that level for 3.5 to 4.5, even 5 years, building those quality tools. When they become a what is called brand manager, where they own a brand, the profit and loss statement, all of the strategy, the marketing, all of a sudden they're in the doing phase where they're taking those skills and they're putting them in their toolbox and they're going out and building something. And let's say a brand, or in my book, I talk about now you're going out and building a house. At the doing phase, you want to do what I call do in many different scenarios. So in marketing, you might be brand manager of an ongoing business, or you might be working in new products, or being a manager, a customer. You're learning all different skills in that doing phase. And when you've gotten to the point where you're an expert at doing, that's when you then get promoted to director or VP and you shift over to the leveraging phase. And the leveraging phase is most often when the work gets done by people working for you. So that's when you are training them on best practices so that they can build tools at their learning stage, build houses at the doing stage. So at this leveraging stage, you are like a general contractor where you have a lot of builders building underneath you. The other thing about the leveraging phase, there is also a different type of leveraging, which is when you leverage expertise. And this might be when you decide that instead of having people report to you, you want to be an expert in one area. And that is very important and impactful as well. And that's also leveraging, but it's not through people, it's through knowledge. So learn, do, leverage is something everybody goes through. And oftentimes, if you shift careers, you will go back to the learning phase of your new career. One thing that I would love to say, Emily, is for the class of 2020 and beyond, you know, your passions are amazing and awe-inspiring, but as you're thinking about your career, remember it is critical to build that really strong foundation. And in reality, I would tell you to keep your passions on the personal side as you focus on your career. If you can build that foundation in the learning phase and the doing phase, then when you get more senior in your career, you'll have the opportunity to blend your passions with your expertise because you've built that amazing foundation and experience base.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I loved in your book, you expand on that idea when you talk about the tree analogy that you use to describe what it's like to build a strong trunk and then branch out in your career. I was really struck by that description. You want to share that with listeners?
Absolutely. So the thought behind this is to think about your career like a tree, and your education credentials and internships are kind of your foundation. So think of them as your root. And your goal is to build a really sturdy trunk and get high up on that trunk before you branch out. And the reason is when you're down low, if you go outside and look at a tree, you'll see little tiny branches sticking out, but they're not a lot and they don't overlap at all. If, though, you move up and get that experience and get to that doing phase and decide to branch out. So for a brand manager, they might decide, I've been a brand manager of two brands. I've done base, I've done innovation. I think I want to branch out to e-commerce and become an expert on that. If they branch out at that point and get that experience, but don't want to stay in e-commerce forever, they can come back to their sturdy trunk, or there will be lots of overlapping branches that might be interested. You might be able to go from classic packaged goods to hospitality or quick serve restaurants, a lot of different areas, because they have that sturdy trunk. They've gotten up high enough that the blend of experience is really, really appealing to other industries and other companies.
Are there any times in your own career trajectory where you branched out too early or made other missteps?
Many. as you read about my book, I mean, I kind of bared my soul. And really and truly, as you read in the book, you'll understand how I came to realize why I made decisions. But early on in my career, out of college, I went into a retail training program to become a buyer. And my first job was at the Water Tower store as assistant manager of cosmetics. And I loved that job. And it was really fun and it aligned with my strengths. The next role I was supposed to transition to was assistant buyer. And I just decided I didn't want to do it. Looking back, I'm shocked because I shouldn't have done that. And somebody should have told me that was ridiculous. But I didn't have a mentor and I didn't have this book to really understand what was going on. But I went to HR and kind of shared that with them, that I didn't think I wanted to do it. And luckily, they recognized my strengths from my time as assistant cosmetic manager and offered me a position in human resources, which I absolutely loved. But interestingly enough, I missed running a business, which is what led me back to Kellogg Business School, where I fell into marketing and brand management. Fast forward to my time at Kraft, I absolutely loved it there, was great in some areas. And so when it was time to get promoted to the doing phase, interestingly, instead of at that point getting offered a brand manager job, I was offered two different roles. One was customer marketing, what they call shopper marketing today, which aligned completely with my skills and was something I had been doing as an ABM on Cracker Barrel. The other one was kind of training and strategy working with the sales force and did not align, but it had a higher salary, a little bit higher bonus. And like a dope, I took it. I mean, really and truly, I look back and just shake my head. So I have certainly made missteps. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do in this book is not just lay out my missteps, but the strategies and thought processes, had I had them, that would have helped me stop. So, you know, with my misstep there, I believe fourth chapter of my book, which is really focusing on the long term and thinking about where you want to go long term and how will this move help you get there versus the title, the salary, or letting your ego drive you, that would have stopped me in my tracks. So yes, I have made numerous mistakes. And what I'm trying to do is give students, young professionals, career changers, the tools so they don't have to.
When you took that higher salary job at Kraft, how long did it take you to recognize that that was the wrong move? When did you realize it?
About 5 minutes into it.
Oh, I mean, no.
It was really fast. But I had accepted it and the other job had gone to somebody else and I didn't have a choice. And I'm not going to tell you I didn't enjoy that job. I did. I love the people I work with. It tried to grow a muscle that, you know, it's not one of my towering strengths. So that muscle was only going to get so big, whereas the other job aligned perfectly with my strengths. But at that time, I wasn't thinking truthfully strategically and didn't have the knowledge that I have today to know that's what sets people up for success.
And how did you pivot out of that job that didn't work for you?
Well, actually, we ended up moving to Michigan. So my husband got a job that he thought was a job of his dreams. And I was lucky enough to get a job at a wonderful company called Herman Miller Furniture Company. And that was really exciting because they had really never marketed their products before. So I could bring the consumer orientation and thought process, different innovation procedures there. And I loved them. But Michigan ended up being too cold and where we lived was a little bit too small. So then after that, I moved to Continental Baking where I worked on innovation until they were sold. And that was the point where the transition happened. Emily, I applied for some marketing jobs, was lucky enough to get some offers, but my favorite recruiter, Brian O'Connell, who really was so much more than a recruiter, he had never placed me anywhere, but he was a mentor, he was a resource, he was a friend. He got me in the door and introduced to the VP at Continental Baking without ever getting a fee. He had opened his own recruiting firm. And as I was calling him to say, we've decided we want to stay in St. Louis and help me find a job, he threw out, come work for me. So it was not in the grand scheme of things. I had gone to Kellogg Business School. I had spent 10 years building my marketing capabilities. So when he threw that out, it shocked me to the core.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it felt like the right opportunity because it was the right person that you knew you'd be working with.
Yeah. So I adored him. I respected him. I loved how he operated. And as I really sat back to think about my career and why this headhunting gig was kind of exciting to me, I sat down and pulled out two pieces of paper and wrote down everything I hated and everything I loved. And it all kept coming back to the people part. I loved working with people. The other thing that I became very aware of, kind of like when I was supposed to become an assistant buyer and it made me really anxious, looking at the director role in marketing, which would have been my next step, also made me anxious. You know, it's an amazing role and it's great leveraging, but it also relies a lot on the analytics and the ability to navigate politics and less on the people interaction. And so I was uncomfortable about the career path in marketing. And as I looked at my loves and hates role, everything kept coming back to people and, you know, working collaboratively. And then the last thing I did is I reached out to mentors, past bosses and people I had worked with and for, and told them what I was thinking and asked their advice. And they came back saying two things which really stuck with me. One was, I think you'd be really good at it. I think it really aligns with your strengths and what makes you special. And then the second thing was, if it doesn't work, you'll know in a year if you like it and if you're good at it. And if it doesn't work, you can always come back to marketing and you will have built your sales capability. And with those two things in mind, I kind of felt like, all right, let me do this. And so I joined the O'Connell Group. I was the only person working remotely. Everybody else was in Connecticut. And yet, Emily, from day one, it felt natural. It felt easy. It felt comfortable. And I kept on saying, I can't believe I'm getting paid to talk to people on the phone. And to, you know, to give people advice and to help them with their careers. And that was 25 years ago, and I still feel that way.
That's incredible. I'm really struck by what you said about reaching out to previous mentors, previous people you'd worked with. I know that when I had just graduated college, I understood how important a mentor was, particularly as I was pursuing writing. And yet I was so shy and terrified of becoming actually vulnerable enough to reach out to people and feel that I was worthy of those people's time. Do you find that that's a common problem or is it just me?
Oh, believe me, it is not just you at all. In fact, there's a whole chapter in my book on networking and why it's so important and how to do it. And in reality, people really like to pay it forward, whether it is with people who were from their high school or from their college or from their graduate school or friends of the family or people in the industry. You know, I have not come across one person who I've reached out to. And interestingly, as I have been on this journey to write this book, as I've seen people from different lives who have been authors or see something about an author on LinkedIn, I have reached out to them personally and asked them if I could take 15 minutes of their time to learn from their expertise. And not one of them has said no. So people are really open to doing it. It is something that not just students and young professionals should do, but people really should do throughout their career. And in the book, I talk about it as a muscle that you really want to develop. And it can be life and career altering. When you have these people in your corner, as a resource to reach out to as you're considering different career moves, but just to be able to offer you advice and point you in the right direction. And those relationships, if you network well, and by that I mean it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. You're really appreciative. You keep them up to date on your career and what's happening. They can make your life, and not just your professional life, but your life so much richer. So first of all, know you're not alone. Second of all, I think it's a huge tool that people should use, and many are uncomfortable. But three, people are really open and willing. And especially right now, when people are working from home, I have found that CEOs and chief marketing officers and very senior level people are hungry to connect and are really excited to chat. So yeah, I think it's critical and it's a great thing for people to do.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it is funny reflecting on how shy I was personally in the beginning of my career. And now, you know, many years later and a decade of writing experience and editing experience later, I am more than happy when people ask for my advice. You're totally right. We're all very willing to give, and yet it can feel so vulnerable to ask.
Absolutely.
I was really struck by all of the tools that you have in part two of your book. You dive in deep on how to build a resume, how to build your skill sets around networking, interviewing, and negotiating. And of all the tools that you describe in your book, which ones do you think are the most underutilized ones?
Well, it's a really interesting question. You know, I get a lot of resumes that come across my desk, and a lot of them try to be cute or fancy or different, thinking that that's a really good thing, when in reality, it's not. So while there are certainly some people who have great resumes, I think that's a need out there. You know, the knowledge of how to write a resume that is really clear and concise, but conveys the appropriate information in a meaningful way, differentiates you, and also structures the interview. So I think it's out there, but I'm not so sure it's great. The networking we already talked about, I think that is beyond critical, you know, and can open doors for you in for advice, but also for potential jobs down the road. I think how to apply for jobs is obviously changing as technology evolves. And so many times people apply for jobs in the wrong way. They see a job, they push a button saying submit, when it's like a crapshoot. You know, your chances of rising to the top and getting a human to see you are very minuscule. And by tweaking how you apply for jobs, and if there's a great recruiter working on a job, that is the best option, because they are talking to the hiring manager and the company wants to fill it through them, and they're the filter. So that's the best way. A second way is people you've worked with in the past who know your expertise and your capabilities, as well as how you'd fit with the company, having them get the resume to the right person. Another way is through networking. Those people you've connected with, if you've impressed them, they may be able to get the resume. And then the last one is that pushing the button and applying, because again, the odds of that ever paying out are really minuscule. So that's important. But I'm going to keep going, because Emily, interview prep, you know, getting to that point where you have been invited to interview and then not doing your homework is really like going to Harvard and leaving without your degree because you're one class short. I am a huge believer that preparing yourself, knowing yourself inside out, knowing the company, having done your homework is critical to set yourself up for success and differentiate yourself. And so the book lays out the process. Then both negotiating and resigning are things that people really don't know how to do well. And it makes them really uncomfortable. And so the book lays out how to do it. The other thing I will share is, through the book, hopefully people will get the knowledge they need. But we also have three different services that we're offering to augment what they've started. So we are going to help people finalize their resume, do interview prep, do mock interviews, and make sure that people are really prepared. And the third stream and option we have is what we're calling just-in-time negotiation. So somebody's gotten a job, not through a recruiter. They don't have anybody in their corner to help them figure out how to negotiate in a win-win manner that has the company feeling even better about you after negotiation. And so, you know, if people find that they still want more help, we're going to be there to help them in these three areas.
That's wonderful. I really especially appreciate in your book that for each of these steps that can feel so intimidating, like sitting down for an interview for a job that you really want or negotiating salary and benefits, these things that people often really experience a lot of trepidation around, you turn them into really simple, elegant steps. And one of my favorites was in the interview piece, you talk about using the STAR framework to tell stories about your accomplishments. Walk us through that.
Absolutely. And we call it the STAR Plus. And my belief is if somebody says to you, what are your strengths? What are your accomplishments? And you rattle them off, and then somebody else asks that person what you said 10 minutes later, they'll look at them like a deer in the headlights. They will remember nothing. But if they say, what are your strengths? And you say, here are my top two strengths. And let me give you an example of where each one allowed me to achieve my goal. And you tell a really concise story that paints a vivid picture. There is some chemical reaction that happens in the brain that allows people to remember it and believe it. And so what I tell people to do is to grab some index cards and copy of their resume. If they have any past performance reviews, those can be helpful. And the reason I tell people to do index cards is it forces you to be concise. If you're typing on the computer or you have a pad of paper, you can go on forever. And that's not what you want to do here. But what you want to do is write a strength, leadership, whatever. Think of that example where that strength allowed you to achieve your goal and you want to write it out. So the S is situation. So kind of what was going on. The T I tell people to use is thinking. And the thinking might be the analysis. In the marketing world, it might be the trends you noted, what the sales guy told you. It is that aha, that light bulb going off, that eureka moment that takes you to the action, which is what did you do? And R is result. So situation, thinking, action, result. And the plus or the learning is if having gone through that, you learn something that will have you shift what you do next time, you share it. Because in reality, we all improve by making mistakes and course correcting along the way. So if you have something that's really meaningful, you share it. If you don't, you stop at results.
I love that so much. And I love the idea of even just using an index card to constrain your thinking and make sure you get really concise. As a writer, you can imagine that sings to me.
Yes.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I've been so excited to see not just how your tips help people who are newly on the job market, but can help people who are at any stage of their career and building from where they are. So again, your book is called Ignite Your Career: Strategies and Tactics to Unleash Your Potential. And besides checking out the book, where can listeners find you?
So the other place that they can go is to our website, which is igniteyourcareerbook.com. And there we'll have more information on the book, a little bit about my background, as well as the services I offered. The other place they can go check me out is I am on LinkedIn, and there you can see my work history. I would also tell you to go take a look at my recommendations because they'll very clearly outline how I work with people, the long-term focus, and hopefully the benefit that we've been able to afford people throughout their career.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Author Hour. You can find Ignite Your Career on Amazon. A transcript of this episode, as well as all of our previous episodes, is available at authorhour.co. For more Author Hour, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite subscription service. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Same place, different author.